Now, as we always do, every hour we change pace, and we're going. And I should mention that all the shows today, the two interviews I've already done, and this interview will be up as a podcast on our website, the 3Ws, yarravalleyfm.org.au. Look down the left-hand side for podcast, and another page will come up. Click on that, and For this and the 12 o'clock one will be under My Smiling Face, Community Connections, and the last one from Tali will be under Community Connections. Anyway, it's my privilege to talk to now Bree. Now, Bree, first of all, welcome, Bree.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. Now, Bree, you are a pet photographer, but there's a bit more than that. How did you get into pet photography?
So I started off being a vet nurse. So I worked in veterinary oncology. So I've done it for about 12 years now. The oncology side is kind of how I got into the pet photography, because I have a focus on end of life and senior pets. Yep. And that's kind of where that came from.
All right. So as a younger person, Bree, what made you decide you wanted to be a vet nurse? But apart from being a vet nurse, wanting to be an oncology nurse.
Yeah. So I've always had heaps of animals. I've always loved animals. Right. So that I always wanted to be a vet nurse.
Yep.
The oncology side, I was doing my vet nurse study and I needed to do a placement. And I got a placement at a oncology clinic and they were really awesome. And then they ended up offering me a job. So I just stayed there for maybe 6 years.
Yeah. I've never heard of an oncology nurse in vets, and I've had pets and gone to vets. Have there always been oncology vets for pets?
I think so, yeah. It's been around for quite a while. It started off when I first was doing it about 12 years ago. There was only two veterinary oncologists in Victoria, So I worked at that clinic, but now there's quite a few veterinary oncologists now. So they specialise just in the oncology. So they do their vet training first and then move on to oncology.
Move on to oncology.
Yeah.
Gee. So then what happens? First of all, why did so many get involved in becoming oncology? Because I wouldn't have thought there was that sort of need for it, to be honest, but obviously there is.
Yeah, it was very busy and I think it's just getting busier. Obviously, there's so many pets diagnosed with cancer.
Yep.
A lot of people were just doing palliative treatment, I think, before, but now there's a lot more moving towards doing like chemo and radiation and all that stuff as well.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to say to you, in the old days, they'd just put the pet down rather than now they spend quite a lot of money and try and save that pet.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's still some clinics that don't refer as often to specialists, but there's a lot more now that do refer to the specialists. And even if they do the palliative treatment in the end, once they've seen the oncologist, like it's really helpful getting to see them and getting all that information anyway.
So then, all right, Bree's rocking along. You're doing this gig as the nurse. What made you decide you want to do photography?
I've always loved photography. And when I was on maternity leave with my son, I wanted to do something while I wasn't working. So I decided to do a photography course. And then I decided I wanted to focus on the pet side, having worked in the vet industry for ages. And in the oncology specifically, I wanted to do more senior and end of life stuff, because that's really important to me.
So is it mainly with your photography? Do you mainly just specialise in sort of the older pets? But are they pets who are just old, or are they pets that are old and aren't going to last?
Both. So I'm actually Melbourne's only senior and terminal pet photographer.
Right.
So I mainly, do senior pets or terminal pets. So terminal pets I've done as young as like 1 year old that have then passed away. But, in like their last weeks or months, or just a senior pet.
So seeing that you are so passionate about pets, how do you yourself cope? I mean, it's bad. Well, it's probably a lot worse for the people that own the pets. But how do you yourself go knowing that all these pets nearly that you're photographing are all going to die?
I think I'm just working in the vet industry. I like to help people, and I feel like the photography, everyone's so appreciative and they love their photos after they get them.
Yep.
Everyone's just really grateful. Like, I feel like I'm really helping those people. So like, it definitely can be sad, but it's also really nice at the same time.
I've got to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk to more to Bree, of course. There's a reason why we're discussing, talking with it. We're not just here to talk about pets. We're to talk about something a lot greater. So stick with us. And at about 10 to 3, Bree will tell you how you can get hold of what we're going to talk about. So please keep listening. A quick reminder that if you have a pen and a paper ready at about 10 to 3, Bree will tell you all about what we're going to talk about and where you can get this calendar. Now, you're a photographer and you do photography of pets, older pets, and I think you said a soul pet. What's a soul? How do you classify as a soul pet?
Well, just a pet that you really love, that you really connect with, like it's a really special pet. Right. Basically.
So do you do one calendar a year and pick out 12 different dogs for that year, or do you have various calendars for various people?
I've just got the one calendar, so for 2026, the Senior and Soul Pets calendar, and I've got a combination of cats, dogs and horses that I've photographed over the last year.
So we'll tell people how they can get it later on. How do you pick out 12 photos?
So I basically put it out to everyone who I had done photos for. And got them to reach out to me if they were interested in having their pet featured. Right. So then I picked.
How do you pick them? if you get 30, how do you pick them?
Yeah, I did the first 12 that contacted me. So yeah. I just said whoever reaches out first kind of thing. It was first in best dress because I didn't want to have to pick and choose who.
Is this the first time you've done the calendar?
Yeah, this is the first year.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's an inaugural one, the first,
yes,
first
yep,
big one.
Yeah.
What's the cost of the calendar?
So $30.
$30, right. Yep. And now, there's a real reason we're talking about this because we don't normally just promote somebody who wants to sell a calendar, but there's a real reason behind this because 50% of the profits are going to a young four-year-old boy named Billy.
Yeah.
Now, how did you pick Billy out? And why is Billy so special?
So it's for the condition that Billy has. So he's got a condition called Pobine syndrome, and there's only about 100 kids worldwide that have the syndrome.
What does that do to you?
Yeah, so it causes severe epilepsy, which is often uncontrolled with medication. Right. It causes speech delays and sometimes no speech at all. It causes developmental delays, so... whether or not he's walking now, but some of them are permanently, like, in a wheelchair, not able to walk. They're the main thing. So it's just all over general delay in everything.
Does it bring their life, apart from the style, it must really ruin it, but does it bring their lifespan in?
Yeah, so I think the oldest known person with the condition at the moment is 29. So they all have... a really short life expectancy so far, yeah.
All right, so, and how did they diagnose it? Do you know that? Like, if there's such a small amount of people.
I'm actually not sure how they diagnosed it. He was having so many hospital visits when he was a baby because he just wasn't developing properly. Yeah. And then eventually he was actually the first child diagnosed at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
All right, so how did you hear about Billy? And
So he's actually one of my friend's kids.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that's how I found out, and just watching her on this journey has been really hard.
Yep.
And there's barely any research into helping.
Isn't there?
No, because they're so little.
Because it's so small
that's not important enough to... put money into research for it. So any of the research that's done is funded by families or community, which is why I put together the calendar to try and help. Yeah.
That's a terrible situation, but I guess when you're on the other side of the fence, if you're a professor or whoever you are and you've got a small bucket of money to do research, you're probably going to go where... most of the where there is more cases, aren't you, rather than the small cases.
Exactly.
They don't know what causes it?
It's a mutation in a gene. It's not genetic, it's just something that's just happened.
Right. Yeah. So is it in everybody? I know I'm getting a bit technical here and you might not know. Is it a gene that's in everybody and either the mother and father coming together exploded it or what?
I'm actually not too sure. I'm not sure. Sorry.
No, I don't be sorry because that's a pretty unfair question. I just thought you may have along the line had a...
Yeah, I think it's possible that it can because initially when they were having tests done, they both had to be tested to see whether or not it was genetic, which it wasn't. It ended up being this mutated gene. So,
I don't want to know anything about the people because that's not fair and the listeners don't need to know.
Yeah.
Can I ask, has this person that you know that's got Billy, have they got other children?
She has one other child, yeah.
So does that child suffer from the same disability?
No.
So it's one of those...
it's one of those things. She was told if she has other kids, it's not going to... it's probably not going to happen to another kid. It's not genetic. It's just one of those things that's just happened.
That's unbelievable. Unfair too.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another quick break and we're going to find out a little bit more about Billy's life, how he's going on, and if you can support by buying this calendar, as I say, at 10 to 3, Bree will tell you how you can get it.
It's awfully considerate of you to think of me here, and I'm most obliged to you for making it clear that I'm not here. And I never knew the moon could be so big, and I never knew the moon could be so blue, and I'm grateful that you threw away my old shoes and brought me here instead dressed in red. And I'm wondering who could be writing this song. I don't care if the sun does shine, and I don't care if nothing is mine, and I don't care if I'm nervous with you. I'll do my loving in the
ask you, we'll just get off Billy for a few minutes because we want to come back to Billy a bit later. How did you pick these how do you pick, like, I'm not talking about your calendar now, does everybody want their pet photographed, or because I'm trying to find out how many you got photos you took to get these 12 for your calendar.
So. I do maybe a photo shoot a week, one to two photo shoots a week.
Right. So a lot of people don't have photos taken?
No, it's not like that common. Like I feel like it's a fairly new thing, having professional pet photos, but it seems to be getting more common, yeah.
Because we Greg, that's in the office here and will be following me at 3 o'clock, he took on photographing people in palliative care.
Okay, yeah.
And we talk about humans here, but he found quite a lot did want to take photos.
Yeah, I think when people hear about it, they want to. A lot of people want to, but so many people just haven't heard of it before.
Yeah. I've never heard of, like, I've seen photos of dogs and cats. In fact, they're for sale in every store from about now onwards for next year, you know, and one's all cats and one's all dogs. But I've never heard of a calendar where it's senior and end-of-life. You're the only one that does that, I think you said.
Yeah, right? I'm the only specialist in that in Victoria, yeah.
So how far do you travel to do these photos?
All over. Yeah, all over.
Let me ask you too, you mentioned you've done, I think in this calendar there's a horse?
Yeah, there is a horse.
So do horses suffer from cancer just the same, do they? Or would they have
horses do get cancer. I don't think it's treated as much. Like, it's in the oncology clinic I worked at, we didn't treat horses. It was mainly just cats and dogs.
We wouldn't be able to get them in the door.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's not as big of a thing as cats and dogs. The horse that's in the calendar was a senior horse. Right. Yeah.
Well, I suppose, too, if you've got an animal like a horse that's just living in the backyard, you probably don't get as attached to that as a cat or dog that comes in and jumps on your lap and goes to sleep while you're watching TV.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess you don't always get the same sort of affection to a horse. Yeah. I know people who have got horses and love them.
Yeah.
But it's a bit different, I guess, when a dog or jumps up on your bed and wants to sleep there as well.
Yeah.
So let's get back to Billy, because that's what this is all about, trying to raise money for some research for Billy's disease. Do the family have any idea as to what sort of the outcome is going? Well, they know that what's the final outcome, but have they any idea that's going to be 5, 10, 20 years?
They have no idea, no. Even now, just he's only really started to walk in the last year. They don't know, like, his speech, he's barely talking. They don't know how much he's going to talk, how, like, his intellectual, like, they don't know all of that until he gets older because he's so young. Like, it's hard for the tests, yeah.
I guess the other thing, too, is that it, and very often, the parents get forgotten a bit in some of these things because they're going to have to be Billy's carer for day and night, whereas, you know, most parents go to bed at whenever they do and hopefully their kids will sleep through the night. But I guess they're really his carer 24 hours a day, aren't they, seven days a week?
And I think that's the hardest part because his mum isn't able to work very much. She is taking him to specialist appointments multiple times a week. He has multiple hospital visits. If he ever gets sick, he gets really sick and needs to go to hospital. Yeah. They have trouble regulating their temperature with this condition. So if he gets a fever, he gets really, really sick.
And then that has other implications too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we'll just take one more quick break and we'll be back with more. And as I said, about 10 to 3, Bree will tell you how to get this calendar.
Took the message.
let it shine on through the night. I know by now you're not expecting me. I've been so long out of sight. The darkest hour now, baby. Don't give up on me just yet. I got no excuses for you, baby, but I sure got some regrets. Yeah, I sure got some regrets. Grace, my soul turned into stone. Please leave your light on for me, 'cause I'm taking the long way home. When you see me, baby, 'cause I just might fall apart. I know I've tried your patience, and I know I've stretched your heart. For sure, and it's not just me who's hurting. No, it's not just me who's hurting. I went out from the halls of grace, turned my back against my own.
One of the side effects, of course, we talk about Billy because you want to raise some money to try and get some research because there's just no money going into it. I guess the other thing which we haven't discussed is the effect that an illness like this has on a parent. I mean, apart from the emotional trauma between Billy's mum and dad, and that must be enormous to be carting him around to all the different appointments. But it's also the things that they can't do, you know, in what I would call an average family, and I don't want to stereotype, but people can go off for holidays, they can go down the beach, they can go to the pictures, they can do all sorts of things. But I guess a family like Billy, they can't really do that, can they? Because they can't take him with them.
Yeah, it definitely would make it very hard with all of his appointments and hospital visits and everything, and then just the risk of seizures and stuff that he has obviously makes it stressful on the family as well.
And you couldn't go along to your next door neighbour and say, hey, can you mind him for 2 or 3 hours while we go to the pictures? I mean, you just you couldn't.
Not.
Well, no, I guess the neighbours wouldn't even want to take that risk.
No, and I think that's part of it too. Like, it's a lot of stress on their parents to watch him as well. Like, a lot of pressure if he is to have seizures or if anything's to go wrong when they're watching him. It puts a lot of strain on them too.
Let's think about that. Like, you couldn't really walk out of a room much and leave him be, could you? So it's really a really intense situation, isn't it? Like, you can't just go out and say, well, I'll go and bring the washing in and leave him here, because you'd have to – you'd be worried the whole time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, yeah, with him sleeping and stuff, like, they're obviously worried about seizures overnight. Like, he has, like, I think it's an owlet sock or something that, like, tests that alarms them if something goes wrong during the night, that type of stuff. So, yeah, they've always kind of
got to be. So you'd almost be lying in bed – asleep with one ear open, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a pretty serious, obviously, situation, not only for Billy, but also for the rest of the family. And if they've got any other children, and somebody once said to me, I can't remember who the interview I did, but I did an interview years ago with someone, and they said, look, everybody feels sorry for mum and dad, everybody feels sorry for the child, but they forget that there's another child that's quote, normal, who can't do a lot of things anyway, because mum and dad can't take me there, and mum and dad can't take me there. So I guess there's four people here that are involved. There's the other child who misses out so much. Then there's mum and dad who are terribly worried, and then little Billy who's really going through some things that he shouldn't do.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start to talk about this calendar. We've still got a few more minutes yet, but where's it going to be available, and how are people going to get it? And so please have your paper and pencil ready now, because Bree's going to tell you how to get it.
Yeah, so you can pre-order it on my website, which is www.bree.com.
Now, there's no full stops in between any of those?
No, or just BreeRubyPhotography.com.
Yeah.
And there'll be like a little drop-down tab that says calendar 2026, and you can go on that tab and order it through there.
And I think you said it was $30.
$30,
yeah.
$30. Yeah.
half the profits are going to little Billy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to the university that is studying Povines, so going towards the research to help Billy.
You know,
it's in America. I think it is Columbia University.
So now you're talking about there's only four in Australia. How many would be worldwide? I think you might have told us.
About 100. Yeah, so not very many.
Still very small, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so I guess We need people need to go on to BreeRubyPhotography.com, was it?
Yep.
No AU.
No AU.
And have a look at the calendar. How many dogs? How many cats? And how many horse? Only one horse.
I think there's only one horse, and I think there's two cats, and then I think the rest are all dogs.
Yep. Do you find? pardon me. Something caught my throat. I think it was air. I gulped it in too soon. Do you find that when you're doing your photography now, we'll forget your calendar just for a minute.
Yeah.
Do you find there are more dog owners want photography than what there is cat owners?
Yeah. Dogs are definitely the most common that I do, then cats and then horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. There's just a lot. I think there's a lot more really, I suppose, dedicated and I don't know. People who really love their dogs. There obviously is people who really love their cats as well, but I just think it's more common
Seems to me to be that a dog becomes more of... We've had cats in the past and we've had dogs and still got a dog.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me that the dogs become part of your life, where a cat... Well, they always say, don't they, that a cat's got servants, a dog will look up to the master rather than the cat... just thinks they run the place.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, definitely. There definitely are those people with the cats that they absolutely adore, and I think they're the ones that obviously come through and do their photo shoots, but they're just, not as common.
Just on another subject completely, well, it's still about what we're talking about a bit, but as working as the vet, the oncology nurse, are there more cats that get the cancers, or are there more dogs?
Probably more dogs.
More dogs?
I would say, yeah.
And is there a particular breed that seems to get it more?
There's a few breeds that get it more. The one that come to mind are like Labradors and Golden Retrievers are very common.
Are they?
Yeah.
The big dogs?
Big dogs, yeah. A lot of the big dog breeds are really common, like lymphoma and osteosarcoma are really common cancers that you see in dogs.
I wonder why.
Don't know.
I
yeah.
wonder why. That's
yeah.
It's a bit of an interesting sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But very common.
Yeah, I would have thought. To be honest, I would have thought you were going to tell me like the little dogs, like
we definitely saw them, but the main ones that come to mind when you ask that is we saw a lot of Golden Retrievers and a lot of Labradors.
Must be something in their genes or something.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Well, in all honesty, with humans, we don't even know either.
No,
So I guess we're never going to find out from dogs.
Yeah.
Look, Ruby, Bree.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's BreeRubyPhotography.com. I hope that you sell millions of these calendars. Is it a limited edition that you've only got so many that you're printing?
Yeah, I'm going to do the pre-order in the next couple of weeks. So I'm kind of just, I'll see how many I get pre-ordered and then do a bit more than that and just see what happens.
Because the problem with calendars is if you don't sell them by
about... Yeah, I don't want to order too many.
Well, and the problem is if you don't sell them by about the end of January...
Exactly, yeah. I only have so long to sell them.
Yeah, they're never going to go anywhere.
Exactly.
I've never seen a calendar in that sort of thing, because when you normally see these calendars and, you know, you walk past a news agent, you walk past a $2 shop, because when you get to about February, they're all on sale trying to get rid of them, for $3 or $4. But they're only ever... Never the end of life ones, are they? Or the senior ones? They're all just young puppies running around.
Yeah, but yeah, these ones are very important to the people who are in them. They all really love their pets, and they're really special to
them.
And
I think that's I've never heard, and I'd never thought of it, to be very honest with you. Never ever thought that anybody would do that as a well, as part of the profession, because, I mean, that's what came.
Yeah.
Was out of all the dogs and cats that you've done, is there any particular one that you've looked at and thought, man, that's the best dog or cat I've ever seen?
I don't know.
Because the owners are always going to tell you.
Yeah, they all love them. There's been a few that have really touched my heart, I suppose. Yeah. There's been some really lovely ones, but probably, they're all special. I don't know. I can't pick one in particular. No. There's definitely, a few that are
so
pretty special.
So as an oncology vet, and I don't want to get too deep here because this could go right downhill and I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Once you've done the treatment, do you ever hear from the owners again? Like, how do you, as a nurse and the vets, cope when someone says they went?
That the pet passed away. You probably don't really hear often from them. Like, a lot of people would come in and, like, thank you and bring you, like, a box of chocolates or something to say thanks for helping me. But other than that, you don't really, I suppose, hear from a lot of them after that. And
Do people, and I don't want this to go downhill because this is supposed to be a bright show. There used to be a pet cemetery. Is that still around?
I'm not sure about the pet
used
cemetery.
To be one up Roval Way somewhere. And, of course, I think we mentioned earlier too, I read in the paper the other day where you're going to be allowed to take the pet into the with you when you're buried, but I'm not sure what happens because dogs only last 10 to 15 years and we all want to last a lot longer than that. So what do you do? Where do you keep them? So anyway,
that's not something for people
a lot smarter than me to do. Look, again, BreeRubyPhotography.com. So you're going to get yourself a nice calendar, but you're also going to put some money into research. And the problem is, and we've said this two or three times now, is that when a professor is faced or a university is faced with the opportunity to put money into research with, that maybe 100,000 people are suffering from, whereas somebody who's 100 worldwide and 4 in Australia, unfortunately, the money doesn't go there. So I guess, is there a foundation that people can, do you know, where people can look up and find out more about the disease and perhaps donate?
So they can look up Pobinds syndrome, which is P-O-B-I-N-D-S, and it is being studied at Columbia University.
So it's Pobinds.
Pobinds, P-O-B-I-N-D-S. Yeah.
So I'm sure that one of those would have a opportunity to raise some money too, I would have thought.
Yeah, yes, yep.
Well, again, we hope it's a real success. I've never, ever would have thought of a calendar made up of senior and towards the end of life. I would never have thought of it.
No.
I would never have thought of it.
Yeah.
And the same thing as I said, that Greg used to do it for, for adults, end of life. I wouldn't have thought anybody would have wanted a photo, but Greg was telling me that he was very busy doing it.
Yeah, they really, when they hear about it, they really do, and they really appreciate having those memories afterwards because it's something that people don't think about beforehand, but once they've got them, they do really look back and appreciate it.
And all our memories fade over a period of time, don't they?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, we're just about time for me to go. Greg Carrick will be on at 3 o'clock with Have a Little Faith. Have a Little Faith. That's on Sunday night, the idiot. Oz Indie Show. Craig will be on with the Oz Indie Show between 3 and 5. All latest releases of songs that had just been released this week. Also, I'll be back next Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. And next Wednesday, we've got our private investigator, Pete, coming in between 1 and 2. I just can't remember who's on between 12 and 1, but I'll have... And then, of course, 2 to 3 next Wednesday, we'll have Council Connections. Just look up that Bree Ruby Photography, allonewordcom. Have a look at it, order it, and know that you're putting money where it's well spent. Thank you, Bree, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.